This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We are here at the Caesar Superdome for the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation Honors Luncheon, where they'll be honoring several folks. Tom Benson will be inducted into, I guess, the NFL Hall of Fame. Is that right, Mike?
It's the Greater New Orleans Sports
Foundation Hall of Fame, excuse me. And Ms. Gail Benson as well. And as we're beginning, the doors are open. Folks are walking in. And Mike Sawaya joins us. Welcome, Mike. How are you?
And give him some time to get his headset on.
And right. Mike is the president and CEO of the Ernest M. Morial Convention Center for a little while longer. He's off to bigger and better things. He thought that he might like to manage animals better than people.
I talk to the animals.
Our new Dr. Doolittle.
That's right. That's it.
And he's got a huge smile on his face, so he must be excited about this new challenge.
Oh, I couldn't be more thrilled. You know, get to stay here, touch things that touch everybody in this community.
Right, absolutely.
People are so proud and excited about their involvement in Audubon. That's the one thing that I've noticed ever since the announcement, and it's just outstanding.
That's great. That's great.
New president and CEO will start on January 1st of 2025. Now, here's the question that you've been asked a thousand times. How does one follow Ron Forman, who has been in the job, and I had to double look at this, 53 years.
That's wow. Right.
There's a little institutional knowledge there.
There is. You know, it reminds me of, the movie Remember in the Titans when their star went down. They said, you can't replace that guy. And there's no replacing a Ron Forman, right? He's a legend. He's built all the facilities that everyone knows in their lifetime. And he had the vision to make those things happen. And we enjoy those things today. And it really is a big contributor to the quality of life of living in New Orleans. And I intend to build upon that. And I'm fortunate to have him as a mentor to help me transition into that role.
Absolutely. And there's been a lot accomplished by you and your team at the Ernest M. Morial Convention Center as well. A lot of exciting news that have just recently been talked about, new hotels, some expansions, a whole different perspective of the area around the convention center.
We're really in a great place. You know, we met this past week, actually last night even, about the final plans on a 1,000-room hotel. It really is a game changer for this as a convention destination, as a tourist visitor industry destination. And they couldn't be more excited. You know, a $600 million investment in our community, private ownership, private equity. We just don't hear things like that often enough in Louisiana. And we couldn't be more thrilled about their excitement about putting that in this community. So in a good place, the convention center itself completed phase one of the renovations of a phase three plan, and that continues, and it's just a new day for the convention industry in New Orleans.
And to me, because I know it's very important to you, and that is the river, right? Yeah. The river, it's been somewhat, and wasn't born and raised here, untapped. You go to a lot of other cities like Memphis, and the river's there. We cross it. We see it. And I know the River District, right? That'll be for people who the 2013 Super Bowl. There was no River District. You're moving up river, but the relationship that this city has with the river, I feel like, this is more of a question, can be better, can be stronger.
Certainly, and access to the river is one of these projects that combines the Convention Center's vision with Ottoman's vision. We are sharing in this. And this project that expands the access to the river with the expansion of Waldenburg Park. It'll be a 2.5-acre new park, linear park, on the river that is one of the largest linear parks on a river anywhere in the country, 2.5 miles. So, and it's the beginning of things. I hope there's other opportunities, but the River District itself and the vision for development there, 48 acres on a river next to a convention center, doesn't exist anywhere in the world, and the plans are just dynamic.
But that's the point, right? Yeah. This is it, people. Why wait? There's not another 48 sitting somewhere else. Yep. It's how we treat this pristine area for growth for the next generation is so crucial.
It's all about the future. It really is about building things to reinvent this destination. And, of course, the economic impact on the community is significant.
A lot of people underestimate the accomplishment, I believe, not understanding the huge dynamic change that the pandemic caused and the disruption. And folks having to self-reflect and try to figure out, where's this industry going?
Sure.
Is it going? Is it going forward? Is it going backward? What's going to happen?
One thing we learned after the pandemic is people couldn't wait to get back together for interactions. They tried this period of time where you did Zoom calls and events, and you can't introduce new products that people can't touch and feel. Looking people in the eye and having a Sazerac in New Orleans can't be replaced by a Zoom call.
My boy went, straight to the top.
Now I cannot think about anything else but that. That's beautiful.
But the networking opportunities and how we've designed our building for the future and revisited that issue and taken advantage of how do we bring people together more, that is kind of driven post-pandemic way that we do business.
Yeah, because when you think about a convention center, it's always hard to find these nooks and crannies where you can sit down privately, have a conversation with vendors or otherwise about products that are being presented. You were just on the floor space, touching it, feeling it, talking about it. When you want to talk about the financial terms or otherwise, either that big hotel, right, or nooks and crannies within the convention center.
That's right. It's amazing. New product introductions, the type of deals that get made in these forums, the type of things that we're able to host in New Orleans, because typically when you have a convention here, their attendance goes way up. This entire year of 2024, I've had meeting planners come to us and say, we broke our record attendance, and we're hearing that more and more often. And I think that's a product of the post-pandemic world, is people's craving to get back together face-to-face.
Can you talk a little bit about, and I'm kind of teasing, not teasing, but this convention center is such a huge piece of the puzzle for the NFL experience and that whole week for Super Bowl. I mean, you're going to hang around a little bit, huh? I mean, know you start over at Audubon on January 1st, but you can wear a couple of hats for a couple of months, huh?
We like to say in our building, it's not the first rodeo. we do things that are the size of a Super Bowl all the time at the Convention Center. But we have a great fan event, the fan experience, the Super Bowl experience at the Convention Center. And it's going to be better than ever this year. The governor is even building what we call Mansion South in the well lot next to the Convention Center, where we're going to feature Louisiana products, or they are, rather, all week long. And it'll be his headquarters to really highlight things that are done in Louisiana to the world. We're going to have a new event called the Super Bowl Breakfast that people can buy tickets for and attend. And they're going to be given the Bart Starr Award. Some of the past winners have been Drew Brees, DeMario Davis, and legends that people have all heard of. So another great event that we'll host there at the center.
Absolutely. I mean, there's just so many things going on. We talked about that earlier. A lot of folks like to think of the Super Bowl just in this building, but it really touches every asset that we have to offer.
It really does. In fact, Convention Boulevard will be mostly closed off for pedestrian traffic, making a real safe environment for people to flow in and out of the convention center. So it's really going to be an outstanding event.
You're going to miss it?
You know, I will, but I'm looking forward to looking at it from a different perspective and, you know, being able to participate in some of the events that happen there. I've got plenty of to do at Ottoman, and we have 10 different things that we do, 10 different venues that we promote, and finding ways to enhance those and increase attendance and building new facilities for the future will all be a part of that. So I'll still be in tourism leadership here, and that's what's most exciting to finish my career in New Orleans.
I think one of the cool things about Ottoman, first off, it's its size. You know, you can see it from St. Charles and then to the zoo. And then I remember my first visit to the Riverview, which nobody calls the Riverview, the Fly.
I go,
how did nobody tell me about this? It's just an amazing, it's not a secret, and if you're not from here, but what a great parcel of land to kind of have a, if you will, a blank canvas. What can it be?
You know, I'm told that there are 350 acres in that whole area. You know, I'm doing so much to close out my tenure at the convention center. I'm looking forward to exploring and learning a lot about all of what we do at Ottoman. That's an exciting time for me as well.
It's going to be great. Yeah. It's going to be great.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it. And thank you for your commitment to the city and what you've accomplished at the convention center. You definitely left it better than you inherited it.
That was the plan.
That's always the plan, right? Absolutely. For certain. And the city is the beneficiary of that. So we thank you very much on behalf of everyone. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure.
All right, we got to get to a break. 504-260-1870. We are at the Caesars Superdome, excuse me, for the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation Honors Luncheon, and we will be right back. Mike Haas, Newell Norman, stay with us.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Welcome back, folks. We are here at the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation Honors Luncheon. Superdome looks absolutely great. We're joined by Papa Tommy Satanovich, grandfather for the second time again as of last evening.
Yeah.
But he's also, he's not busy in his regular job. He's also a member of the Louisiana Superdome and Exposition District, otherwise known as the LSED. They are the state agency responsible for the operations of this facility and a lot of other facilities as well. You've been on now, what, 9 months?
Something like that, nine months.
9 months, 10 months.
And it's amazing the learning curve and how much I've learned and how much I've enjoyed and all of the things that we get to see and hear and most importantly do. But I got to tell you, the previous commission, it's got to take all the credit for the renovations and how they did it. And it is beautiful. It is awesome. You know, I've been blessed with being able to go to some of the other really cool stadiums around the country, around the NFL. And I'm going to tell you, this stadium here, as old as it is now in the top three or four stadiums in the NFL.
Yep.
And Tommy, you know, we have board members, and we have board members who kind of just, you know, take part. Tommy jumped right in, and he's right. It wasn't easy, right? That board had been around for the majority of the renovation. So here comes this new board. You got to wrap your head around at the most crucial time when money and everything was coming to an end. So it was not easy. And you're right, Kyle France and many of the members of that board, and Hillary Landry, who stayed on.
That's the key.
You had to have a connection, and Hillary's the best.
That might be Jeff Landry's best appointment, by picking her to stay on board, because she's number one, somebody that was very, very engaged, and she's the glue that's holding this new board together and kind of educating us and making sure that, you know, we know the history and going in the right direction, and understands that there's a new administration and understands that she needs to work with, and we all need to work together. She's awesome.
That true-up period is really a hard period, as you just described. Mm-hmm. Mike, what surprised you the most?
Oh, wow. So many things. The how much money things cost, you know, and how detailed we get, whether it's, you know, we talk about the roof and the painting and the, you know, the logos, you know, the old logo coming out and the new, under that, you talk about, you know, the TPC and how, you know, we work at the TPC golf course and, you know, work with the Four Kids Foundation. And
of which, you know.
Yeah. And then now the cool thing and the next big step for us, right? Now, obviously, well, we got contract negotiations with, you know, keeping the Saints here and the Pelicans, which is first and foremost. But then, you know, we're talking now about renovating the Shrine. There's about 20-something million dollars now that's going to go to, you know, taking that stadium from baseball and making it a rectangular stadium, so it handles, you know, soccer, rugby,
high school football.
I mean, the other night I went to the Jesuit Rummel game, and you know, you're talking about two of the better high school programs in the country, and yet one team didn't even have a sideline.
Right.
And, you know, playing in that baseball stadium, you know, and John Curtis, for many years, you know, their home field was basically a playground. And so we're definitely underserved for Friday night football in this region. And so that's going to be really big. And the involvement with us and trying to get the get it renovated and done really fast and expeditiously and getting it done right, which is most important. And
I've heard that from so many board members that I've, you know, had an opportunity to speak with over the years. They all say the magnitude,
yeah,
you know, of all these properties that come under the LSED umbrella.
Yeah, and you know, don't underestimate the work that Doug Thornton and his group do here. They
sure
do a great
absolutely
job, and making sure that we
talked with them earlier, and I think you would agree the execution on the Taylor Swift concert was second to none.
Unbelievable, you know, and just every part of it. The concessions, the lines weren't long. The way they fixed made the bathrooms and kind of worked that around, since it was mostly girls.
I heard they stole some of our bathrooms.
Yeah, they did, you know.
And very few said anything.
That's a good thing I knew where those secret bathrooms were. Right.
The ratio was pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, it was. You know, that was just an all around great event. And how about the concessions? The way they, you know, they queued everybody up and then they went in. You didn't even have to. You know, it wasn't even that bad. And it was one of the top selling, one of the best jobs concessions for the whole Taylor Swift's tour was right here in New Orleans.
Really, I did not know that.
Yeah,
and one of the things that I think that they did so brilliantly is that not everybody that came to any of our concerts are necessarily from Louisiana. In fact, most of them were out of town.
Yeah.
So to have 5 days of concession sales at Champion Square and also the Smoothie King Center for locals, you felt like you were a part of this.
It.
And not a 10 to noon all day. While she was performing it here on Friday night. You could buy a T-shirt in the Smoothie King Center if you lived in Metairie. And I think that kind of inclusiveness, man,
just was
brilliant.
Well, Mike, go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say another cool thing about this whole Taylor Swift deal, not one, we didn't have to take a single person out of the stadium for behavior. Nobody was evicted from the stadium. I'm going to tell you, I've been to a lot of concerts. First time I went to a concert and didn't smell dope. First time, you know, no
wine
problems.
Spritzers.
And then my credit to her, she was here to entertain for 3.5 hours, and all she did was talk about those little bracelets, talked about how cool Louisiana and New Orleans were, and she entertained. No political statements. No, you know, everybody knew who she voted for, but she didn't bring that. She entertained when she was here. So, yeah, am I a Swiftie now? I am.
You are. So is Mike.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's you get
so two of y'all shaking it up every morning.
It's not very pretty. It's not a pretty shakeup. There's a little too much shake.
But it was a great event, not only for the Superdome, but for New Orleans and Louisiana, which is really, really cool.
Well, Tommy, thank you so much for joining us. Tommy Satanovich.
Always a pleasure.
Everybody knows you from where? Dragos.
So.
But we really appreciate your commitment to the city, all that you've done, your family has done, and obviously what you're doing now by serving as a member on the LSED.
One thing real quick, too, I was going to throw a little kudos out, because when I asked to be on this commission, I talked to Governor Landry, and I said, all of these years you've had all these really cool people that have sat on this commission, but you've never really had a true hospitality person. And he looked at me and said, you know what, you're right. And a week later, I get an interview. Or 2 weeks later after that, I get an appointment. So, he understood the need. He understood the value of hospitality. And I'm enjoying it.
Absolutely.
Well, y'all have a great day.
You have a great lunch.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. All right, folks, we will be right back. I'm Newell Norman. He's Mike Haas. Stay with us. 504-260-1870 on the Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We will be right back. Welcome back, folks. People are rolling in. It's starting to get a lot busier. You can feel the momentum growing. We've been able to watch old NFL films.
Yeah.
This has been great.
couple old schoolers.
The old schoolers.
I remember that one.
Absolutely. Of all the former Super Bowls here in the city of New Orleans. Well, we are joined by Anna Isaacson, Senior VP of Social Responsibility with the NFL. She comes to us from New York. How's it going?
It's great. Actually, we just left the snow, our first snow
of
the year.
Yeah, watching the game last night in Cleveland. I'm going,
it was crazy.
What in the world?
I know. And we weren't expecting it. We haven't had rain in a few months.
Right.
So it's
you skipped it.
We just
snow.
Skipped it.
Came down. This is a cold front, by the way, that we're experiencing.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Right now.
Please. Oh, my God.
So it's so cool. Inspire change. The pillars of that: education, economic advancement, police community relations, and criminal justice reform. And so, you are really in search of nonprofits from the grassroots, but Inspire Change itself from 2017 to 2018 is a grassroots, move in and of itself, where the NFL got involved. Then the NFL clubs got involved with its players to promote their grassroots efforts.
Yes.
Talk about the kind of the evolution.
We're really lucky to have an incredible platform at the NFL, and what we've done over the last decade and a half is really try to unify the clubs around key issues and priority areas. And we've had several of those. If you watch NFL games, you've seen our Salute to Service campaign and our Crucial Catch campaign and our Play 60 initiative. Inspire Change was launched, in similar fashion, but really from the players and their passion and their desire to give back and make their community stronger. And so it's really a campaign that's about breaking down barriers to opportunity, opening up access in those four areas that you just referenced. But it's a campaign where we go across the country and we find local change makers to honor, and we find organizations that are deserving of, Inspire Change grants, because we know they're making an impact locally.
Roughly, since it began, I was on the website yesterday, and I'm going to tell people at the end how to get exactly to Inspire Change. How many nonprofits have benefited? And I know the numbers have changed because really the clubs, like $250 million over 10 years, have really engaged. But how many nonprofits?
And that number is actually up to $375 million right now. Yes. $250 was our goal, and we shot past it in a couple of years with the generosity of the clubs, honestly. So we have about 40-plus national grant partners and then several hundred local grassroots partners that the NFL Foundation funds year over year that players are supporting, clubs are supporting. So we offer matching opportunities. So a player says, this Boys and Girls Club, this local organization is doing amazing work, I'm going to fund it. We'll match that funding for that player. And we do that across the board for clubs, for players, for coaches. So we're able to build a huge roster of unbelievable organizations giving back.
It's been great. Some of the advertising that has been done, around this with the local folks, I think has really created an opportunity for some of the I don't know how I should say it, non-premier players. Does that make sense?
It does.
And it seems as though y'all created an opportunity to highlight them and what they do, because it's not as natural for them, right, in their respective cities.
Yeah, and listen, we have hundreds and hundreds of guys that are giving back in the community, right?
Yeah.
And you hear about the top quarterbacks or the top tier guys, but really top to bottom on rosters are filled with men of character.
Sure.
And they're giving back. And that's, listen, we're about to announce our My Cause, My Cleats campaign. We're announcing that on Monday. We've got the most guys ever that are participating
that.
In that campaign, right? And so they're supporting hundreds of causes across the board, or social justice causes and beyond, cancer, disease, adoption awareness, animal, you know, shelters, you name it, our guys are supporting it. And so for us, it's really about elevating their character, elevating all the work they're doing, and showing what a community-minded organization the NFL family really is made up of.
Yeah, because it just seems like they get to this opportunity to become more involved in the community that they otherwise might not have had. And, I'm sure there was intentionality here on y'all's part to ensure that occurred. And I think it's been a huge success, because
yeah.
I hear people talking about it. You know, so they're recognizing it, they're seeing it, they're feeling it.
Yeah, it's the platform we have, right? I mean, and it's also, I mean, listen, we'll be back here at Super Bowl, and it's about the platform we have at Super Bowl to make an impact and make a difference. We obviously, there's football going on, we all know that, that's why we're here. But
so there is a game.
There is a game. There are games that go on.
The Saints and somebody.
Some football stuff. But it's really for us all about the give back and making fans feel engaged with our game, even if they're not sitting here in the Superdome.
Right.
So I know this is an impossible question, but it was about this time last year, Inspired Change kind of announced your four kind of grant winners. It was around December. And I'm kind of curious, is the New Orleans impact. Who out there, and maybe it's numbers, who benefits, right, from the New Orleans?
Well, so it's interesting. This is our fall grant cycle, so we'll be announcing another round of grants in the next couple of weeks.
Right, it was about December, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So we recognize Inspire Change towards the end of the season. And sometimes we find really local organizations. We funded an organization called Vote that was in New Orleans for many, many years. And then we fund big organizations like Boys and Girls Clubs and Big Brothers Big Sisters, who have extensions here. Big Brothers Big Sisters is about to reopen after 20 plus years here with support from us. So we do a little bit of the national big organizations that have arms and legs locally, and then we find those really grassroots organizations, and we can fund those too, whether through players or through clubs.
So it's easy to get to. I'm a big NFL.com person.
Yep. Right.
Because if you know that, you go to watch games. You'll see watch games. You all know how to get to that. Slide over two columns to get to news. And down community, you'll find Inspire Change. And what I thought was cool, there's a video on the website, and it's kind of, what is it, Inspire Change, right? It's just your 2.5-minute explainer, right?
Oh, you found that video.
I did.
That's awesome.
But what's cool about it for me, Cam Jordan, Tyrann Mathieu, DeMario Davis.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, this is your national, you know, but it's our people. And every team's got them, but it just made me proud.
The Saints have a lot of them, though.
Yeah.
The Saints have a lot of them.
Quality,
they're really
character
quality,
people.
Unbelievable guys. DeMario, Cam, all those guys are really just incredible.
You know, it was incredible, too, is it was a rainy day here. I went to NFL.com because when I do prep for my interview of you about the Saints games. And I don't know half of what you know about football. So I was just going around on the website. Literally, you could spend 2 days on this website.
It's amazing.
It's amazing how much information is there.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's not only from a community perspective, but just the NFL, what we're producing now in terms of content for fans. There's something for everybody to engage with. And then just from our aspect of the world, on a social impact perspective, we're you know, working on a lot of different causes. We all know there are problems in this country. There are problems in the world. We're helping.
And you have to start somewhere, right?
I
think that's the beauty of it, is that it was a grassroots. It wasn't this massive campaign. I think it was five players.
Yes, five owners.
Yep. So, you know, you didn't just jump out and go fix everything. We didn't get into the situation overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to get out of it overnight, but you got to start somewhere.
Right. And you can't solve it alone, right? Everybody plays their role. And
it takes all of us.
Oh, thank you.
How about that?
Good. Thank you.
You trained him well.
Yes. No, our chief marketing officer
would
be very happy.
So thus far, what has been the thing most satisfying for you?
You know, I mean, there's. I've been at the NFL. This is my 19th season. So
you're too young to be there for 19.
I wish, but not. You know, listen. There's been so many unbelievable moments where you know that you're giving back to people who are relying on your support, and I think it's those moments that carry us for months and months and months and months. When you get to see someone up close, meet someone who our programs are impacting, who we're helping, who we've helped facilitate a mentorship opportunity or a screening for cancer or whatever it is that has helped them in some way. We know that people rely on the NFL for entertainment, but also for their spirit, for their morale. And that is, you know, incredibly powerful, right? We take that seriously. We take that responsibility seriously and make sure that fans know that we appreciate them. And so it's when you see those interactions with fans and you know you're making a difference, that's really what it's about.
What does it feel like every year when you have a whole host of new difference makers coming into the NFL, young men?
It's exciting. I mean, some of these guys are unbelievable, and even in college they've discovered what their passions are and what causes they want to support. And that's starting earlier and earlier now, right?
NIL has helped with that regard? And a lot of these young men have taken these dollars and started something on their own behalf.
You know, I'm not sure, the impact of NIL on the philanthropic space yet, because to be honest, these guys were doing it way before NIL.
Right.
Even if they didn't have those dollars. I mean, investing in organizations.
Just their personal time.
Just showing up, right?
And they have veterans above them.
Correct.
That say, look,
teaching them the way, right?
Right.
We have our Walter Payton Man of the Year program, right? I mean, these guys are showing the younger generations how it's done and what the NFL platform is all about and why it's so important to use that platform for good.
Excellent. Well,
yeah, it's really interesting.
We think of October, we think pink. We think breast cancer awareness. And I always say on the air, I go, it should be year-round. And we think November, we think salute to veterans, salute to service. It should be year-round. But at least, man, I think it's important that the NFL recognizes it all the time, every stadium. And it's not just a game. It's a month. It's a time. And so it may seem minute, but I do think it's very important.
Yeah, and the great thing about Super Bowl is it allows us to bring all of those things back to life for that one week, right? It's a week where it doesn't matter if it's October, November, December. Right. We're bringing all of our campaigns to life in the Super Bowl city and, showing our fans what we do all year.
And you'll see it right by – it's on the same column with Inspire Change. You'll see – Mike Hall's Mike Cleats. This is a bit not non-humble, but when I hear Mike Hall's Mike Cleats, my name's Mike Hoss. Did they just say Mike Hoss, Mike Cleats?
You didn't know it was about him?
I'm like, what do they say? Mike, if you say
I get it.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
I was like, what?
Or with a certain accent, perhaps, like mine.
I love it. I love them all. I love the shoes. I think that was a brilliant idea. Love it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a very successful campaign. The players really, really like it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for spending time here in our beautiful city. We appreciate
it. Thank you for having me. The weather is glorious.
Oh, yeah. It's like this year-round.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're back for the Super Bowl game.
I will be. God willing. Yep.
Good.
See you then.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. Best of luck to you. All right, folks. We'll be right back. We got to get to a break. I'm Newell Norman. He's Mike Hoss. Stay with us. We're at the Caesars Superdome for the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation Honors Luncheon. Welcome back, folks. We are broadcasting live from the Caesars Superdome for the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation Honors Luncheon and ramp up to the Super Bowl kickoff. We've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of folks in hospitality, a lot of folks that are involved with the NFL. We just spoke with Anna Isaacson with NFL Inspire, talking about their programs, and we look forward to that. We will have some additional guests coming your way that we will be talking to that are involved in hospitality and involved in the NFL, as well as what's going on here in the dome called the Super Bowl, Mike.
As you may have heard Mark Romy, the event is beginning.
The event is beginning, and it's full. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.